latest on You Decide 2016.
On the road to the White House, polls had it wrong.
God bless the great state of Iowa.
Ted Cruz wins the Iowa caucus, beating Donald Trump by 4 percentage points. Rubio finishing a close third at 23%. One of many storylines our Washington insider Jamie Dupree is following from Des Moines
this morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Look, I think when we look at it first, one possible headline is the obvious one. Ted Cruz wins. The birther attacks didn't work against him. Neither did the insults from Donald Trump. Cruz made the argument against ethanol. That didn't hurt him. The opposition of the governor didn't hurt him. And he was able to basically outwork everybody and out-organize Donald Trump especially. Number two is that Donald Trump lost. We wondered what would happen when the vote would finally occur. His people did not surge in the turnout. There was a record turnout. But I think, Rich, it was more the people who came out to vote for Cruz and for Rubio and against Trump. Now, think about it. Trump almost slipped into third. Marco Rubio almost caught him, and it wasn't way back. Rubio, I was telling you for days, I thought that Rubio had momentum, and it did turn out that way. And really, when you think about it, Rubio was able to finish a strong third with millions of dollars in negative ads dropped on him by Jeb Bush and by others. And Donald Trump didn't have hardly any negative ads being run against him. So that tells me that things are really going to rev up in New Hampshire. And it also tells me, Rich, maybe the polls are wrong in New Hampshire, too.
In the year of the unconventional campaign, did this still prove once and for all, I guess, that Iowa is all about the ground game, about the, hand-to-hand combat, if you will, with your voters out there?
Well, maybe it proves that elections overall are still about the ground game, that at least in this area, you cannot have just big rallies and fly in your plane and just to sort of do a minimal amount of retail work. And that's what Trump tried to do. It did not work. Ted Cruz went to all 99 counties in Iowa. He finished the last one yesterday, so he put in his time. He did his work. Rubio, maybe the bottom line for him would have been, boy, if he would have spent more time here, it might have worked out. And the other thing I would say is I think that that this sort of shows that missing the debate last week was a mistake for Donald Trump. It allowed Marco Rubio to gain additional momentum along with Ted Cruz.
Five lessons from the Iowa caucus in the Washington Insider blog written by Jamie Dupree at WOKV.com. Instant updates as well on Twitter at Jamie Dupree. We'll have you back a little bit later this hour. We'll dig into the Democratic race with Hillary surviving, but man, that was tight. Absolutely tight. And we will continue to monitor that as we turn our attention now to the Duval County Democratic Party Chairman Neil Henriksen, who joins me live to recap the Democratic race, where Neil, thank you very much for getting up early with us this morning. We're told by the Iowa Democrats that it was as close as they've ever seen an Iowa caucus. I don't know if they had the record turnout that they did from 2008, but do you have immediate takeaways from 30,000 feet? Is this like Hillary surviving this contest?
Well, I think what we saw was Hillary did well in areas that she did not do well in 2008. So she picked up a lot of the John Edwards precincts that she had lost in 2008. And I guess overall, from the 30,000-foot view, we're excited that we had so much enthusiasm from the Democrats in Iowa. So we had strong turnout, we had a lot of enthusiasm, and we look forward to that in the general election.
Now, Bernie Sanders talked a lot about the powerful message that was delivered.
It is just too late for establishment politics and establishment economics.
Neil Henriksen, the chairman of the Duval Democratic Party, how is that message resonating across the country? I mean, it saw big numbers for Bernie Sanders. He almost pulled off, if you will, almost an unthinkable, but at least a major upset over Hillary Clinton.
Right. Well, I think, Sanders has been driving young voters out. There's been a lot of enthusiasm. However, I think when one looks at the overall race around the country, Bernie Sanders really was in the ideal setting in Iowa to turn out the vote and win, and he didn't do that. So what we have is, basically a draw. I guess Secretary Clinton took more delegates by just a little bit, but we really had an opportunity. If Bernie Sanders was going to demonstrate that he could be viable nationally, here was the opportunity. Again, a lot of young voters, non-minority voters, and he wasn't able to pull that off.
Here's a sense of Hillary Clinton following last night's narrow win.
And I am excited about really getting into the debate with Senator Sanders about the best way forward to fight for us and America.
Now, in terms of context, I'm not really sure if she was setting up what may be a rough and tumble debate between her and Bernie Sanders Thursday, for example, in New Hampshire. But I guess it's a sense that she wasn't going to coast to victory. And her campaign probably didn't even figure that either. But Neil Henriksen, I guess you wonder, a year ago, just about everyone kind of put their easy money on Hillary Clinton becoming the Democratic nominee. This is going to be a race.
Oh, yeah. And I think that what we'll see is competition on the Democratic side that'll be good for whoever the nominee ultimately is. And in particular for Hillary Clinton, she runs into now New Hampshire, where a state adjacent to Bernie Sanders' home state, and she's going to have a tough road, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. She comes into this the presumptive nominee like she did in 2008, and competition is good. It drives the base. It gets the candidate thinking and having to work it, because the general election is where everything is going to matter.
From a competition standpoint, Martin O'Malley dropped out of the race or suspended his campaign last evening, so now it looks like a two-horse race, which pretty much everyone assumed at this point, given that O'Malley's polling numbers had been so poor and in the single digits. In Duval County and across northeast Florida, Neil, what are you hearing on the ground about enthusiasm for Democratic turnout in 2016 versus the last two election cycles? It would appear that there's a lot of momentum that has been around the Republican cause because of the opportunity to get a Republican back into the White House after 8 years of Democratic rule with Barack Obama. Do you feel and sense that same level of enthusiasm in 16 as we had here and in the state of Florida in 08 and 12?
Yes, I think we're seeing the ground games for both the Sanders campaign and the Clinton campaign already rolling out in Florida. In northeast Florida, there have been many events, phone banking for the respective candidates. So the Bernie Sanders people, they've been feeling the burn. They've been very active locally here in Jacksonville. The Clinton people have had phone banking going on. In fact, at our local Democratic headquarters, which we've made open, you know, we've allowed both campaigns to come in. We've had phone banking since December for both sides. So we see a lot of enthusiasm locally. We're seeing that throughout the state, and we think that's a great thing because, again, competition is going to be good, and it's going to be a tough general election, and these candidates are going to be ready.
And it's going to be a long road ahead. I mean, Bernie Sanders right now is clearly the front runner headed into New Hampshire next week, the Vermont senator from right next door. But then we have South Carolina, and we move into Nevada and eventually into Super Tuesday state. So we're in for the long haul. Neil Henriksen, appreciate it. Duval County Democratic Party chairman joining us on this special Road to the White House edition of Jacksonville's Morning News. Want to update you on a developing story in the downtown area. The Main Street Bridge closed still due to police activity. It would appear that police have successfully talked down a man from one of the guardrails near the top of the span. We're working to confirm that independently, but I'm seeing some initial reports of that. But at this moment, the Main Street Bridge downtown is still closed due to that police activity. We also have pretty thick fog in spots, so give yourself a couple of extra minutes to get where you need to be. As we sink our teeth deeper into the numbers out of Iowa, some of the key takeaways on why Marco Rubio's campaign must really be riding high, if this may be the end of the line for people like Jeb Bush and Ben Carson, or if they're in it for the long haul. Special Road to the White House edition of Jacksonville's Morning News continues, 6:19.
On You Decide 2016.
Our Road to the White House special continues. Jamie Dupree on how Marco Rubio won Iowa by finishing third.
Marco Rubio's strong finish in third place is all the more amazing when you think of how much money was spent against him by Jeb Bush's super PAC and by others. In fact, yesterday when I was on the road in Iowa, I could not believe how many negative ads I heard against Rubio. So he was able to get almost a 24%, even with all that money being dropped on him. Now he gets a boost going into New Hampshire.
But if you're just getting up and moving, Donald Trump lost to Ted Cruz, the ultimate winner of the Iowa caucus. Robert Hall is a political science adjunct professor at UNF, formerly at JU as well. And the 30,000-foot view of things, I guess the big takeaway is how well the ground game worked for Ted Cruz in Iowa.
Well, I mean, absolutely. I mean, that is the technique to win in Iowa, is to be specifically with individual voters in homes, diners. And that was both Cruz and Rubio, but for Rubio, it is the victory for him in Iowa. he almost overtook Trump. Trump has to be or should be upset that he didn't show closer to Cruz or even win. And this morning getting up, I'm sure Cruz is very happy, but the happiest person probably has to be Rubio.
Yeah, and we talked about this yesterday over the phone, Robert Hall, political science adjunct professor at UNF and formerly at JU. You know, would the retail politics game work for Trump, where he can swoop into Iowa and hold a huge rally, or is Iowa a completely different animal? It's proven that, obviously, the year of the unconventional campaign, there's still some conventional wisdom that you need to have in place in places like Iowa.
Absolutely. And probably going forward, what's going to happen likely is, you know, this is a chink in the armor of Trump, and you pick up momentum off of unexpected victories, and you lose momentum off of unexpected losses. And that's not going to play well for Trump as we really get deep into the primary primary system.
You speak of momentum. Who's got the momentum on the Democratic side, since it was so darn close between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders? She survived.
I don't know that anyone either gained exceptional momentum or lost it. Clinton's general numbers across the country, the polling in general, is still fairly strong in her favor, though this was essentially virtually a tie in Iowa for. And it's, you know, it's pretty clear that she's not going to win New Hampshire. So really, we've got to look more beyond those. And as we hit maybe South Carolina or really the South vote in the 1st of March, and then certainly Florida and Ohio on the 15th of March, those are going to be the real critical ones to fully shake out or show what appears to be Clinton's true strength.
Long road ahead. We've got a long ways to go. Robert Hall, political science adjunct professor at UNF, formerly at JU. Thanks for the insight.
A big loss for Donald Trump and a big win for Ted Cruz. I'm Jamie Dupree in Des Moines, Iowa. More on that coming up.
As our special Road to the White House coverage continues on this Tuesday edition of Jacksonville's Morning News.
On You Decide 2016.
Our Road to the White House spotlight continues on this special hour of Jacksonville's Morning News.
We finished second, and I want to tell you something. I'm just honored. I'm really honored. And I want to congratulate Ted, and I want to congratulate all of the incredible candidates.
So Ted Cruz wins the Iowa caucus, working very hard on the ground in Iowa. He visited all 99 counties. Maybe he gets a boost in New Hampshire from this victory. We'll have to find out in the days ahead as the dust continues to settle. Straight ahead at 9 o'clock, continuing analysis on the Herman Cain Show. Herman joins us live from New York. And as you kind of ponder some of the key storylines, one of the lessons, it would appear, is the ground game still is so important in Iowa.
I think that was the biggest difference for Trump. He didn't have an effective ground game. And what that means is you've got representatives in every precinct, and you've got people who are going to stand up at the caucuses and speak on your behalf. And in addition, Ted Cruz went one step further. He provided transportation for those who wanted transportation. So I think that the Trump campaign underestimated the impact of the ground game, which they did not have an effective one.
Herman Cain is going to be live at 9 o'clock. Jamie Dupree says that Marco Rubio won by finishing third. Do you see it that way as well?
Yes, because that means that he gained a lot of momentum. It was a big question mark as to whether or not he would move up, but he got a lot of momentum. Now, what we don't know is where did he get it from. I happen to think that he got some of it from the people who finished in the single digits. That's why they stayed in the single digits. Some people changed their minds, and they either had to go to Rubio or Cruz. And if they didn't go to Cruz, they went to Rubio. Trump didn't pick up any of the supporters that might have defected from some of the other candidates.
In a year of an unconventional campaign, what's your takeaway on Trump's loss? I mean, he still had support. He had 24% support there, and he benefited from barely some negative advertising against him in the caucus.
I would say that Trump lost some momentum. Cruz and Rubio gained some momentum. And the reason that he lost momentum was because of what I mentioned in terms of not having an effective ground game, and I think that cost him. Someone asked me earlier about whether or not the missing the debate was a big deal. I think that may have cost him a point, but it did not cost him, you know, 3, 4, 5 points. So he lost a little bit of momentum. It's unconventional, and now it just puts more speculation on what's going to happen in New Hampshire.
What do you see? I mean, what do you feel maybe as we look now just a week before New Hampshire, where Trump has been pulling so well, but does Cruz get a really big bounce? Does Rubio continue to surge?
Rich, remember I predicted that the top three going into the Iowa caucuses in terms of the poll results would be the three that was finished. I also said I'm not going to predict the order, and that's exactly what happened. Now, when you go to New Hampshire, I predict the same thing. It's going to be a battle between Cruz, Rubio, and Trump, but I don't know what the order might be. I don't think the people who have been camping out in New Hampshire, like Christie and Jeb Bush, I don't think they're going to get a surge. I think it's still going to be a battle of top three in New Hampshire, just like it was a battle of the top three in Iowa.
Appreciate the instant analysis the morning after the Iowa caucus with Herman Cain. He's back on your radio dial starting at 9 o'clock this morning in a special hour-long roundtable featuring Herman and our Washington insider Jamie Dupree and others. That's at 11 o'clock this morning on a special edition of Jacksonville's Morning News.
The people of this great state have sent a very clear message. After 7 years of Barack Obama, we are not waiting any longer to take our country back.
Rubio sounding really upbeat after his third-place finish in the Republican caucus in Iowa, saying lots of people didn't think he was going to do all that well. Listen to this one. This is probably going to be the one piece of sound that plays over and over again as it pertains to Marco Rubio.
They told me that we have no chance because my hair wasn't gray enough and my boots were too high.
Marco Rubio, Florida senator, finishing third but really winning in so many respects. As we continue to dig deeper into the numbers, the lessons learned from the Democratic race, and the huge turnout for both Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders on this special edition of Jacksonville's Morning News, Road to the White House, WOKV News Time 641. 6:44 on this special hour-long broadcast on Jacksonville's Morning News, Road to the White House Spotlight. By the way, the Main Street Bridge is now back open after the earlier police activity.
On You Decide 2016.
As we continue to dig deeper into the numbers and the big win.
God bless the great state of Iowa.
As recently as yesterday, some of the polling out of Iowa had shown that Ted Cruz was still second behind Donald Trump. He finished 4 percentage points ahead of Trump at the end of the day. Brad Coker is a pollster with Mason Dixon here in Jacksonville, Northeast Florida area. Did the polls get it wrong, or was it just it didn't really necessarily, you can never tell with Iowa when it comes to who turns out?
Well, probably a little bit of both. There was a record turnout, 180,000 on the Republican side, which is quite a bit more than they've ever seen before. But the conventional wisdom was that the larger the turnout, the better for Trump. So even to that extent, even the polls and the prognosticators were wrong about that.
Rubio finishing third is to a certain extent a win for him because of the way that he's built momentum, it would appear, over the last several weeks. I mean, finishing just behind and nipping at the heels of Donald Trump. You see it the same way?
Yeah, he definitely came out as a big winner last night. I think Cruz had to win Iowa. If Trump had beaten Cruz in Iowa, it would have been a crippling defeat. But Rubio certainly polled a lot higher than, or pulled his a vote percentage far higher than he polled, almost 10 points higher than what he received in the last Des Moines Register poll.
Brad Coker with Mason Dixon polling, and with Hillary Clinton surviving in Iowa over Bernie Sanders, what are the key takeaways moving into New Hampshire, where Sanders has been polling at a very good clip, and you would expect he would? He's from nearby Vermont, and we know the dynamics and the politics on the ground in New Hampshire. They've covered a lot, but what does this say about Hillary's chances going forward?
Oh, I don't think it makes that much of a difference. Everybody expects that Sanders will probably beat her by a pretty healthy margin in New Hampshire next week. But then the race shifts south, where she's extremely strong, South Carolina in particular, where over half of the votes cast in the Democratic primary are by African-American voters. And all of the polling that I've seen is that Clinton wins about 90% of the African-American vote. I think she can survive New Hampshire by lowering expectations. And then she'll turn to states like South Carolina and Nevada, where her organization and the demographics are a little bit better for her.
Lowering expectations. She even said it in her victory address, if you will, or the address to supporters last night, that, hey, I'm looking forward to a robust debate. A year ago, maybe people didn't see this. 6 months ago, people probably didn't see the Sanders surge and people talking about feeling the burn, but making her work for it.
Yeah, but again, Sanders, I think, has a very narrow appeal. The thing about Iowa and New Hampshire is that New Hampshire's about 98% white. Iowa's about 96% white. So there's very little diversity in those two states. And, you know, a lot of his support is concentrated among younger college students. I think he got something like 85% of the voters under the age of 30. Over the long haul, that's not going to sustain him, especially when you get into older states with a lot of blue-collar workers and minority voters, and that's where Clinton's strength is, at least in the Democratic primary.
And for a second, back to the Republican side, Brad Coker with Mason-Dixon polling, Cruz, Rubio, Trump in that three coming out of New Hampshire as it starts to swing south then, and then out west to Nevada. What story, I mean, can anyone else penetrate that top three, D.C.?
Well, Kasich has sort of decided to put all his marbles in New Hampshire. It'll be interesting to see if he can hold on to that, particularly with Rubio coming out of Iowa with, you know, a much better showing than everybody anticipated. But short of that, I don't think anybody else is going to be able to do it. You know, my opinion is if any candidate gets less than 10% in New Hampshire, it's time for them to depart the race.
Brad Coker with Mason-Dixon polling already out of the race this morning. Mike Huckabee and Martin O'Malley. There's talk about Ben Carson, who is headed home for some R&R, and we're told a fresh set of clothes, but he told his supporters he is still in the race after a distant fourth-place finish. As we continue to pour through the numbers and dig in with our Washington insider, Jamie Dupree, the five lessons learned from the Iowa caucus next on this Road to the White House spotlight on Jacksonville's Morning News, 649.
And I am excited about really getting into the debate with Senator Sanders about the best way forward to fight for us and America.
Hillary Clinton's campaign declaring victory over her late surging rival, Bernie Sanders. One of the many lessons from the Iowa caucus that our Washington insider, Jamie Dupree, is looking at. The best headline that she could possibly get at this point would be Hillary survives in Iowa, you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, look, with all the organization, all the advantage that she had, I mean, even she said it last night, a big sigh of relief, but her speech didn't it sound like she won? I mean, if you didn't know and you just listened to her speech, and in fact, if you didn't know and you listened to Bernie Sanders' speech, you'd think both of them won last night. It was a tie almost. She has a very slight edge. In fact, Rich, there was one precinct I was told where it was a tie, and so they had a coin flip. And Clinton won the coin flip, and she won a few delegates to the state convention that way by a coin flip. So barely winning last night, it's a reminder that just because you have the organization, just because you have all that advantage on the ground, doesn't mean you win. And so I think you'll see a little more boost here for Bernie Sanders in New Hampshire, and he's certainly the favorite in the New Hampshire primary a week from today.
And so as you look at New Hampshire and then move into the South where things start to get a little bit more diverse, I mean, if he has so much momentum coming out of New Hampshire, how does that impact the Clinton machine going forward?
Well, listen, momentum does change things, and it will make the showdown in South Carolina all the more important, certainly, just as momentum will alter things in New Hampshire for the Republicans. I think you will see this week more people for Ted Cruz, but I bet that when I get to New Hampshire and go to Marco Rubio events, I bet you'll see people out the door. I bet you'll see people, you know, climbing in the rafters to get to see him, because he'll come there with so much more juice than Jeb Bush or Chris Christie or John Kasich, and I bet it gives a little bit of an edge to Rubio. Let's watch that. It'll be very important, because clearly people like Kasich, like Bush, and like Christie want to stop Rubio in New Hampshire, because if he finishes number two to Trump there this next week, well, that's assuming the polls are right, and we were shown last night they were not. And the other thing is, I think Trump might have a difficult week this week. What is the storyline going to be from the media? It'll be Donald Trump. The poll numbers were wrong. He lost in Iowa. Can he lose again in New Hampshire? Watch for Trump really to go after the news media and Rubio this week.
Well, we learn lessons, obviously, in any election, and this is kind of a first, if you will, in learning lessons about Donald Trump and what works and what doesn't work with him. We got our first test of that last night, the retail politicking, as we were talking about. Out of New Hampshire, I guess, how does the storyline ultimately then change, depending on how he finishes, where he finishes?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, look, for example, if Rubio were to be number two there, he's getting a boost today with an endorsement in South Carolina by Senator Tim Scott. Mm. It's a big deal for Rubio to have that. And so if he could finish well a week from today in New Hampshire, he would have even more zip going down to South Carolina. On the flip side, if Trump can win in New Hampshire, that'll stabilize things and he'll go down there. But what if he doesn't? What if he doesn't win in either Iowa or New Hampshire? Mm. Then we start getting into much different territory, and you wonder where Ted Cruz fits in there as well, because certainly he's been strong in South Carolina as well.
A lot more ground to cover through the day. We'll talk again at 8:23 in a special hour with Jamie and with Herman Cain and many others, a roundtable discussion breaking down and analyzing all the key takeaways. But five quick, efficient lessons from the Iowa caucus right now in the Washington Insider blog at WOKV.com.